27, right? Psalm 27. If you want to know a good psalm, read today. Read Psalm 27. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing it. I went to a seminary where we sang the psalms all the time, so I better know something. If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. We're continuing our series through the armor of God. So I believe if you want to use a pew Bible, it's page 979. We've been taking the last several weeks and looking through each piece of the armor that we're called to put on. Last week it was the call to take up the shield of faith. The call was to place our faith in the triune God as a shield to defend us against Satan's onslaught of lies and deceptions. We used the word faith as an acronym. So the F stood for remembering the Father's faithfulness and promises. The A was always stay fixed on Jesus and his accomplishments in the eyes of the storm. The I, impossible. Remember, nothing's impossible with God. The T was for time, to remember that our times are in his hands. And the H, that we're Holy Spirit empowered. This week, the call is to take up the helmet of salvation, to protect our minds, to protect our thoughts in the truths of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We're going to look at many, many scriptures today. So hopefully you have maybe your own Bible to where you can underline and circle some texts so that you can dwell on them, meditate on them, and see them. These are important ones to know. They are the helmet that we are to put on, the truths of who we are in Christ Jesus. Let me pray, and we'll look at verses 10 through 20 this morning again. Father, we thank you for being our shield, our light, and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Whom shall we fear? Jesus, you are the King of angel armies. At a moment's notice, you can send 12 legions of angels to do your bidding. By a word. Lord, we pray that you continue to implant in our minds the truths that we've been hearing about this armor. And this morning, Lord, it's the call to put on the helmet of salvation in a battle for our minds, that we can rest secured and fixed in the truths of what you say. Lord, we pray that you bless the reading of your word and the preaching of your word, and the people would hear your voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. So Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Hopefully you're starting to memorize these pieces. We've been reading the same text as we focus on one. Great truths to remember. Paul begins in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This ends the reading of God's word this morning. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Lord is saying this morning. David Jeremiah, in his book Overcomer, talks about Staff Sergeant Lewis. As he was making his way through Afghanistan in 2012, he heard bursts of gunfire, and a single round struck him in the head, knocking him off the side of the road. As you can imagine, Lewis was stunned, and his ears were ringing and his head aching. As they moved him back to the medical facility, he learned how efficient his ACH, his advanced combat helmet, which was bulletproof, had saved him from certain death. Once they told me that I took around to my ACH, my helmet, the first thing I wanted to see it, and I couldn't believe it. It just peace saved my life. He said, being a soldier, I did many combat missions. I used to complain about the weight and the gear that I had to put on. I don't complain about it anymore. It saved me. It saved my life, that helmet. And from that day forward, he would never, ever complain about the work of putting on his gear. It was his ACH that protected him, gave him physical salvation. This morning, the call is to put on the spiritual helmet of salvation in our Christian walk. As you know, the helmet is designed to protect your head, to protect your brain, to protect your thoughts. In the spiritual battle, the helmet of salvation is to protect your mind in the midst of the battle. For the battle of your mind, you're called to put on this ACH, advanced combat gear, this helmet of salvation. Since we are followers of Christ, people who have been rescued and redeemed from the enemy's grips, remember, Satan wants to attack your faith, wreck your faith if possible, rob you of peace, and take away any thoughts that you could be a difference maker. He doesn't want you to serve the kingdom of God. He wants to put all kinds of thoughts in your head to think you're worthless, to think that because of that sin you are no good, that because of your age or your health that you have no benefit to the kingdom of God. Those are utter lies that God wants you to put the helmet of salvation on to see life in a much bigger way than you ever dared dream or imagined that God can work through you. One of the things that we're called to as Christians is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's from Romans 12. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we are to align our thoughts and our beliefs with the truths of Christ. We're called to think more and more like Jesus, who is the victor over Satan, to put on his thoughts, to put on his truths. Remember Jesus, he was so secured in the word of God, in the truths of God, that when Satan tempted him, he was fixed. When he was concerned in the Garden of Gethsemane, he held on to the Father's faithfulness. He was fixed. He could trust him no matter what. As weak and sin-prone people, it would be easy to live life in fear, uncertainty, if we truly don't understand who we are in Christ Jesus. If we don't grasp all that Christ has for us and done for us, and live through the Holy Spirit, our minds will become defenseless against Satan's attacks. In the book of Philippians, if you want to turn there, it's the next book after Ephesians, of Philippians 4. Paul is writing, and he's writing this letter while he's in prison, and he knows his death is certain. So he's in prison. His death is certain. He's going to be executed because he's a follower of Christ. But listen to Philippians 4, 4 through 8, where his mind is fixed. He has his mind so fixed on who he is in Christ and in the ways of God that he doesn't blink. Philippians 4, 4 through 8, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. Remember, he's in prison. Now he's going to die. He says, "Let your reasonableness or gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand," or "the Lord is near." Don't be anxious about anything. "But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Rejoice, know the Lord is near, don't be fearful, take it all to God, and the peace of God that surpasses everything that you can think of will guard your heart and your mind. It's like a helmet of salvation. And then look at verse 8, this is what we're called to. After you do your praying, after you give it over to God, he says, here's how you fix your mind. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Don't let your minds wonder of what ifs. Don't let your mind wonder of things are chaotic. Don't let your minds wonder that things seem out of control. He says, no, fix your minds on whatever's pure, true, honorable, right, commendable, the truths of who you are in Christ. We're going to look at some of these things this morning that we are to dwell on, to transform our minds today as we put on the helmet of salvation. As you're united to Christ through faith, if you put on that helmet of salvation and transform your thoughts to the reality of who you are in Christ, you will have peace, you'll have purpose, and you can persevere through anything. We're called to put that on that ACH, that advanced combat helmet that Christ wore as he achieved our victory, and live in peace, purpose, and perseverance. So the first question we ask this morning is, how does the helmet of salvation protect my mind with peace? There's a movie I just watched a week or two ago called Overcomer. It's kind of the same title as that other book I referenced. It's called Overcomer. It's the same people who made War Room and Facing the Giants. If you haven't seen it, it's a great movie. In that movie, there's a basketball coach who lost his team. There's a girl who has asthma, who's being raised by her grandmother. In different points within that movie, they're asked this key question: who are you? Who are you? As you think about yourself, who are you? What defines who you are? What's fixed? What's certain? What's secure in this life that's ever so changing? What's the foundation of your soul? What's your identity? How should you recognize yourself each morning when you wake up? If you have a job and your identity is in your work, what if that's taken away? If you're married and something happens where your marriage is taken away, who are you? If you have children and they're taken away and you find your identity in just parenting, what happens when that's taken away? What about your abilities? And you put your identity so much in your abilities, what if that's taken away? Who are you? Basketball coach in the movie, he ends as he's listing all these things that he is. At the end, he says, I'm a Christian. And the guy asks him, well, why'd you say that last? Doesn't sound like he has first place in your heart. Doesn't sound like that's who you really are. That you're finding all your identity in all these things that you do rather than in Christ. And so as we ask ourselves in this ever-changing world, who are we? Are we in Christ? Does he have first place? If you are in Christ, if he is your Lord and Savior, I want to show you some truths of who you are that never changes. In a world of constant flux, this is who you are. If you turn back to Ephesians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles open, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And if you have your own Bible, underline, circle, get these things in your head. These are things we covered many, many, many weeks ago when we started Ephesians. But these are things of who you are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, verse 3, he says, you're blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Though you might not feel like it, it's the reality. That everything that you can attain and get in heaven has been done for you in Christ. You have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:4, he says, you're chosen. You're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You were not a forgotten person. You weren't picked last on the kickball team. You are chosen. He had you in mind before the foundation of the world. Again, in verse 4, you're holy and blameless before him. As you wrestle with sin and different things in Christ, you are holy and blameless. You're blessed in the beloved. In verse 6, in verse 7, you have redemption through his blood. You have the forgiveness of trespasses. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, you are made alive. You are new creations in Christ. You have been saved by grace. In Ephesians 2, 6, you're seated in the heavenly places. That is your identity. When things are stripped and removed from you of what you put your identity in for so long in your life, and you feel like you don't have any purpose or identity, if you can't go on, this is why you go on. Satan would love to get in your head and say you're useless and no good. Just because things change, your identity doesn't change, and he's prepared things for you to do even today. You can have peace in the wrestling of who you are by grounding yourself in Christ. I am chosen. I am loved. I am holy. I'm predestined. I'm wanted. I am saved by grace. I have every spiritual blessing. That is fixed. That is certain. When everything's going crazy around me and it doesn't make sense, this is certain. This is for sure that I'm his forever in Christ Jesus. These truths are to be a helmet of salvation to protect your thoughts about yourself and your standing with God. It's the ACH, it's the Advanced Combat Helmet. Jesus said in 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid." Fix your eyes on Christ. And then in John 16, "I have said these things to you, that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you'll have tribulation." Everything we've been experiencing this last couple of weeks, you'll have this. This will come. "But in me, you can have peace because I have overcome the world." Satan will try to rob you of your peace. He will fill you with guilt. He will fill you with shame. He will fill you with fear and uncertainty that you're loved. And our union with Christ changes that. Jesus, who is the sovereign king, becomes our bridegroom. He marries us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. He takes us with all our moral debt, with all of our shame, with all of our rags. And he embraces us and says, "You are my bride. Don't worry, I'll take care of that moral debt. I have done it on the cross. You have all my inheritance. You have my name. You can have my robes of riches. You are mine." He marries us forever. And the question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Sometimes in the midst of the struggle, if you're like me, you say, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Stay rooted, stay fixed, put on that helmet of salvation, of all those things of who you are in Ephesians 1 and 2. It's like this whole armor of God is like a bookend to chapters 1 and chapter 2. It's like saying, put all the realities that I told you of who you are in Christ and put them on as clothing every day. Memorize these things. Talk them to yourself. Put them in your head. Remember how God sees you in Christ. And you can have peace. The second question is, how does this helmet of salvation protect my mind with purpose? How does this helmet of salvation protect our mind with purpose? What are you here for? You ever wonder that? What in the world am I doing here? Is my life important to anyone? What am I doing here? What is my purpose? And listen, Christian, God made you. God chose you. He predestined you. And no matter what you're called to in the stages of life, whether it be a teacher, a mom, a grandma, or a janitor, or whatever you might think, within those activities, your purpose is to be like Christ to the world. No matter what stage of life you find yourself in, you are to be like Christ to the world. Your amazing call is to bring amazing grace to a world who desperately needs it. That is your identity. That is your purpose. I know some of you are thinking about college, and you need to. And you think about your work. Again, those are all important spheres of life. But your main purpose is to be like Christ in any situation you find yourself, whether you're 2 or whether you're 90. You're to take this amazing grace to a world of hurt, confusion, sin, division, laziness, injustice, greed, selfishness, and lostness, and be a vessel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not the sinless Savior. You point them to Him. But you be a difference maker. You be an ambassador for truth and grace and peace. That is your goal. That never changes, no matter how old you are. You can be like Christ no matter where you find yourself at. Jesus prayed before he would go to the cross, and he's praying for the disciples, and he says, "Father, don't take my disciples out of the world. People will hate them because they're like me. They're of truth. Protect them from the evil one, but keep them here. I need them to be sight, light. I need them to be salt. I need them to be difference makers for the kingdom of God." Paul writes in Ephesians 2, he says, "We are his workmanship." Remember we said that's we're his masterpiece. He's creating, he's shaping, and he's forming us. And he's made us for works to do that he's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Or have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ who are servant leaders. We are to be imitators of God and walk in love. That means show the world what a humble heart looks like before God and others. Show the world what mercy looks like. Show the world what hungering for truth and righteousness looks like. Show the world what a peacemaker looks like. Show the world what it means to treasure Christ above all things. Think about what kind of random acts of kindness you can do, but make them intentional, right? Especially in this day, like I said, these people have to be isolated and they're not out and about. Give them a phone call. Send them a text. "Can I bring you something? This is a great way to be Christ to this world." I was at a funeral for Leonora Keppel. She died in her 90s. She used to work in different churches and serve in different churches and do their library. But as she got older, she wasn't able to do the library anymore. But she didn't lose her purpose. She sat at home and she would knit hats for the babies in India. She made hundreds and hundreds of hats. She would write letters to people she knew to encourage them. People who were dealing with things, she would write letters to bless them. And when she had her hospital visits, she would sit there with her Bible on her lap. And the purpose was when the nurses came in and the doctors came in and asked, "Oh, you got a Bible on your lap?" She'd say, "Yes, have you ever read it? Do you know what it's about?" She uses it as an opportunity. It was just putting the Bible on her lap. She had her purpose. No matter what stage of life she found herself in, she had purpose to be like Christ, to bring Christ to that sphere of influence in her world. You are to be like Christ for the glory of Christ and for the good of others. Your task, and it's an amazing task. Again, no matter the age, no matter what you're doing, you can be like Christ to that area of sphere of influence you find yourself in. You have purpose. Put on that helmet. When Satan says, "No, you can't be used anymore. You're done." I say, "No. It just looks different. It's just changing. He wants me to do something else right now. And that's good." You follow King Jesus, our King, as he leads us in this battle. And lastly, the last question, how does the helmet of salvation protect our minds to persevere? I just wanted to look at this in two areas. The battle against sin. There might be a temptation or a sin that you struggle with and you just wish, you know, I get better and then I fall back into it. And you just get tired of wrestling with it. And you're like, is there any reason why I should even bother wrestling against it? And it's what Paul wrestled with in Romans 7. It says, "The good I want to do, I don't do. And that which I shouldn't do, that's what I find myself doing. A wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of sin?" So when you find yourself in the midst of that wrestling and no place to go, he fixes his identity back on Christ. Who can save me from this body of sin? Thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes this bold declaration in Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. And you go back and start battling that sin again. He will empower you to overcome. Nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Neither death nor life, nor this virus, nor angels or demons, no rulers, no heights or depths, nothing. So in the battle of sin, you can keep persevering. You battle. You want to put it to death, but always through the power of Christ and remembering who you are in Christ. And then this lastly, pressing on in tribulation. How can we persevere in tribulation? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, he's talking about in the sense of persecution. He's out there preaching the gospel, and there are some false teachers who weren't sharing the truth as they should. They were manipulating people, taking advantage of people. And he's sharing Christ, and people are persecuting him. But in general, this can be applied to all tribulation. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, Paul writes, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. And then verse 14, he says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us into his presence. And then I like what he says in verse 15, for it is all for your sake. All this tribulation, all this persecution, it's all for your sake so that the grace extends to more and more people so it may increase in thanksgiving. All these struggles, this chaos, all this, you just wish it wasn't this way. It's all meant to bring grace to more and more people. And then he writes in verse 16, we don't lose heart. I can get up the next morning. I don't lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look to the things that are not seen, to the things that are seen, as we look to the things that are not seen, I'll get this right. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is why we don't quit. We don't give up, because the chaos, the tribulation we find ourselves is meant to bring grace to more and more people. Whether it's the struggle in parenting, marriage, singleness, health, coronavirus, we can keep going. We can get up the next day and not lose heart and say, I have purpose, I have peace, and I can persevere. Because this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I can keep going. We're called to put on the helmet of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it's called a helmet of hope. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, and for a helmet, put on the hope of salvation. Living hope. Living hope. Ian Duguid writes, he says, hope supports you in your deepest afflictions. Hope in Christ protects you when you're sick and when you're sad. Hope in Christ sustains you when you're rejected and when you feel lonely. Hope in Christ bears you up when you're depressed and downcast. Hope in Christ strengthens you even when you stare face to face at the last enemy, death itself, because death shall not have the final victory. The Christ in whom your hope rests has already triumphed. He has risen from the dead and ascended to glory. If this Christ has defeated death and purchased your place in heaven, why would he not also be triumphant over your lesser trials and difficulties that you face in life? Living hope. It changes everything. The helmet of salvation. You are called to put it on. To let Satan rob you of your peace, purpose, and perseverance. Put on that helmet of salvation. Transform your thoughts into the reality of the truths of Christ that you may have peace. you have purpose. You can persevere in the days ahead. Who are you? Who are you? Can you say you're a child of God in Christ Jesus? And with Him I can overcome. Make that a reality today. Christ offers you Himself. He offers you atonement for your sins. He offers you peace that surpasses understanding. He offers you purpose no matter what stage you find yourself, and perseverance, knowing that this slight momentary affliction is preparing us a weight of glory beyond all comparison. Just surrender. Surrender the pride. Say, Jesus, I need you. Receive all the benefits that He has and live empowered through Him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to believe. These are things we know. Lord, you want them to be in our thoughts and our minds. That would be a helmet of salvation. Knowing everything that who Christ is and what He's accomplished. That it's ours. That you're missed in all the areas of our lives. This morning, Lord, I pray that you give your peace to your people. You remind them of their purpose in these days. And in the mornings when it's hard to wake up, remind them they can persevere. There's something far beyond our imagination coming for eternity. Bless your people, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.